Is Seattle waging a stealth campaign against cars? This week, Seattle Times columnist Briar Dudley says the city's plan for growth over the next 20 years is actually a plan for a carless Seattle. He says it's time to admit it. We've declared war on cars. But Tom Fucaloro of the Seattle Bicycle blog says take a deep breath. Making room for more bikers isn't an attack on drivers. We just need to provide other options. They sat down with Bill Radke to hash out what the future of Seattle streets should look like.
If you go into that growth plan, the city explicitly says congestion is going to get worse in some places, and not just because of growth. Congestion is going to get worse because we are going to remove lanes that everybody can use, and we're going to divert them to bike lanes and things like that. So, you know, that's a policy decision to make traffic worse. Now, so then you go one step out, well, what's the effect on the region if the city makes things worse? You know, it's not either or, like you have to build streets or you have to do only rail. The thing is, there's a huge mix of modes that people use to get around in this region. Cars are the primary one, and, you know, you got to respect that.
Okay, here to oppose, Tom Fucaloro, as you just heard, the city of Seattle purposely increasing congestion. Why does that make our lives better?
The plan actually doesn't say to increase congestion. It says to maintain the current level of cars that are on the streets now, and we're going to take all that new growth, all those, you know, 15,000 people who are moving here every year, we're going to take all those people and we're going to try to get them to take modes that are a little more efficient with space. We cannot build more roads. I mean, we're spending $2 billion to build a highway tunnel for cars, and we're widening the waterfront boulevard. I mean, we're trying to widen roads, but we're never going to build our way out of this by widening roads. We have to use the roads that we have more efficiently. And that's what a bus does. I mean, a bus can carry a traffic jam in it. And if it has a bus lane, it can move an entire traffic jam down the side of an existing traffic jam and get where all those people where they're going.
If the city doesn't minimize congestion, bus passengers are going to be hurt too. You know, a slow bus costs more in lost economic output than a slow car, frankly.
Okay, so if you want cars to go fast and you want buses to go fast, then what are we talking about? You just want fewer bicycle lanes?
Well, you know, I don't want to make it into a war on bikes in this conversation, you know, but the city...
Is that what's really bugging you? Is
no.
The man sitting across this table from you?
No, I'm thrilled to be talking to him about this, and I think we have some similar thoughts about the city. We both want the city to work and both want the city to be a good place to live. And the city's congestion hurts everybody. And it's diminishing that vitality. It's making it a less pleasant place. And long term, you know, nobody wants that. So the city needs to do a better job with this. You know, we've been hearing for 5-10 years now that the city's schemes for mobility will reduce congestion. You know, this stuff about, well, you know, if we take this lane away and we give it to buses and we take that lane away and give it to bikes, you know, there's more capacity here, there's more capacity there, it's going to get better, this mobility is going to improve. Really, it hasn't panned out. It's gotten worse.
Tom, giving lanes to bicycles, come on. We don't ride bicycles that much.
Well, that's not exactly true. You know, what, 16,000 people depend on bikes as their primary mode to get to work, which is a pretty astounding number. And that's just Seattle residents, I should say. But also, bikes can be an extremely efficient use of space and an extremely efficient way to move people. But yeah, I mean, only if you have a connected network of bike lanes so that people can feel safe doing it. Because yeah, if it's just the people who are willing to go elbow to elbow with cars in some kind of shared lane down Fifth Avenue, then yeah, I mean, you're only ever going to have some small percentage of people who are willing to do that. I'm one of them.
Right, but we're stuck in that weird middle then. So if you don't go really big on bikes and make our streets super bike friendly, then you're not going to really click over to where lots and lots of potential riders get on their seats.
But it's working. I mean, I think that's maybe the biggest point that's missing here is that this isn't really like pie in the sky thinking. If you break down recent people who've moved here and you look at census data and how are the new additions, the new workers in Seattle getting around, it is by far by walking, biking, and transit. And this is the city's plan working.
Yeah, lots of people are riding bikes. That's great. But really, it's been flat. If you look at the census, it might have gone up 0.5% or something like that. It's totally flat. I mean, we've seen some real interesting increases.
If only Seattle were totally flat.
Exactly. We've seen a lot of increases in walking, which, you know, that's not really reflected in where the city's spending its money, though. It's spending its money on bike lanes, not on sidewalk improvements.
Okay, now we've actually come to it. He said it.
Yeah.
Basically, Come on. We're not, people are not that interested in bicycling. That's what you're saying, right?
It's not, I'm not anti-bike. I know that people like to say that, but it's flat. It's just, and we've been spending a lot. It's been a high priority. It's not growing in relation to the population growth we've seen around here. It's just flat. And so, you know, if that's flat, and people continue to buy cars, and they continue to travel more, how much longer are we going to continue to reduce the capacity for cars that account for more than 82% of the trips in the region and devote it to bikes, which are really sort of stuck at 4%, 3%, 4%?
What do you say, Mr. 4%?
Well, the only mode that is going down in the census data year over year is driving alone. If the population grows and biking increases a couple percent, that's a huge number of new bikers. I mean, we're one of the handful of U.S. cities, major U.S. cities, where fewer than 50% of people are driving to work now, which is remarkable. I mean, this is a gigantic decrease, and it's, we should be proud of this. I mean, this is, you know, Seattle should be a leader, and that's, I think, where Seattle likes to be a leader. You know, we want people to be looking at us and saying, how do we do that? And that means we got to get out in front of them and make bold action.
Breyer, you say that City Hall just assumes that driving is optional. How is driving not optional? Where's your personal responsibility, man? I drive, but I don't have to, especially the more options I have.
You know, my daughter had a soccer game at the complete opposite end of the city last Sunday, and I'm not going to load my family of four onto, you know, take us 4 hours to get there and back on a bus. Biking would not happen. You know, it's just everybody has. I'm sure, Tom, you have situations too where you got to drive. There are people who drive cars because that's what they do. They build our houses, they clean our houses, they fix our houses, they deliver our medicine, and they pick up blood, and they do all. I mean, you know, there are many, many, many reasons to look at why people drive.
I mean, I think the maybe one of the biggest things that you're leaving out is that there are a lot of people who cannot drive. You know, they're either too young, too old, they have an ability issue that makes it so they can't drive. They don't have any money to pay for a car and parking and insurance and gas.
Pronto. They take Pronto.
Well, they live within the service area. I took it to get here. And so, I mean, when you say, like, people need a car, it's like, well, you know, you're leaving out a lot of people when you say that. And people who depend on transit or depend on walking or depend on biking need a place in the street also. And that's really all this change that the mayor's proposing is saying, is that when we look at a street, every person is equal no matter how they're getting there, so we should count people instead of counting cars. And I think that that is really common sense.
Before we go, is there anything we can agree on? Do we really have to talk about war? War on cars? I mean, what can we agree on?
I think it's really cool that Breyer was able to get a bunch of people riled up about a 20-year wonky congestion measurement. I think we're both trying to get people interested in the concept because people should care about, I mean, it does sort of say, like, where do you want the city to go in 20 years? And even if we don't agree, I think we do agree that people should care.
Yeah, I'm with Tom on that.
We're both pro-care.
Breyer Dudley is an opinion writer for the Seattle Times, and Tom Fucoloro runs a Seattle bicycle blog. They talked with Bill Radke.